to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. This is the first full weekend of college football action, and I'm doing freaking backflips at the thought of watching football nonstop. On today's show, I'm joined by Stanford Steve. You can see him every night with Scott Van Pelt or on his podcast with The Bear. We get into the games that you wanted us to talk about. The games on TV, the games you'll be chasing at night, the games with the highest totals. We'll also be including picks. I say it every episode, but this show is about you. On Twitter, I sent out multiple messages asking what you want us to talk about. Those that responded, I really appreciate it. I take your suggestions into consideration and I implement them. As we go on this journey together, I'm going to do the best that I can to help you become a more informed better. Woo! And before we get to the games, from our friends at Covers Experts, here's an exclusive offer for the Sharp 600 listeners only. Get 25% off any Covers Experts product when you use promo code SHARP25. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Save a little money and follow the pros all the way to the bank. Again, that's SHARP25 for 25% off any product.
All the band is out on the field!
Touchdown! Caught by Westbrook!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
It is one of the best weekends of the entire year. The college football season has arrived. Get out your Bubba kegs, cornhole, and grills because it's tailgating time. And I can't think of a better way to get the party started than to jam about week one college football action with my man, the co-host of the Stanford Steve and Bear podcast. See him every night with Scott Van Pelt. Stanford, Steve, Stanford, great to have you on the show.
Rob, it's a pleasure to be here, man. It's up there, man. I don't know if we could count Labor Day as that, you know, as far as everybody's favorite holiday. But for me, with the amount of football we get through a weekend starting tonight, it's a top five for sure. Let's put it that way.
Without a doubt, because it's been so baseball heavy and NBA offseason, and we've just been waiting for this blessing that is college football and the lifestyle that comes from it. So this podcast is one for the people. And I asked for suggestions from our audience. What did you want to hear us talk about on the podcast? And one of the suggestions was games that are on TV. So let's give the people what they want. And let's start with the only matchup featuring two ranked teams, Oregon versus Auburn in Arlington, 6:30 Eastern kickoff on ABC. War Eagle is favored by 3.5. And there's a lot of hype surrounding Justin Herbert. Oregon's got 10 starters back on offense, great offensive lines, one of the best offenses in the country. Auburn, on the flip side, one of the best defensive lines in the country. So something has to give here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the matchups, Rob. It's Oregon, I believe, returns the most experience on an offensive line in like 6 years of college football. And we know how it's turned into factories where these schools are churning guys out. You know, they play their 3 years and they go into the draft. So Oregon, with that experience, along with, you know, guys like Derrick Brown and that Auburn D-line, who is just a phenomenal player. I think he's a top five pick right now if everything goes well and he stays healthy. It's a phenomenal matchup. Herbert was a guest with Van Pelt this week on the show. A humble dude, man. No social media, but you could tell he's got a quiet confidence about himself. The one thing I will mention here, and if I had to pick the game, I would lean Oregon. Mario Cristobal spent some time under Nick Saban as a coach at Alabama. He knows what Auburn's about. He knows what Malzahn's about. Now, I know Malzahn took the play calling away off himself in the bowl game, and they trounced Purdue really bad. But that's the last time we saw Auburn. Now they have a true freshman quarterback. They're going with Bo Nix. But I think Cristobal's run an edge to Oregon, where, you know, Chip Kelly, you know, you're not going to find a bigger fan of Chip Kelly than me, but Cristobal's turned Oregon into a different identity where they have some edge. They play with more physicality. So I think that that's going to help out Oregon when they go into this. I mean, Jerry World's been a house of horrors to them as far as they lost the first national playoff game there, you know, title game to Ohio State. I was there way back when Tyrann Mathieu and LSU whooped them to start the year. So Oregon's got some demons to overcome walking in the Jerry World, but I think they have the goods to win this game.
So Justin Herbert does live up to the hype, or at least the expected hype.
I believe so. Yeah, the thing that's really hurt him is his health, and that's before. That's what I mean. They threw him to the wolves as a true freshman way back. You know, he's going to be a 4-year starter quarterback. You don't find those anymore in this sport. And I'm rooting for the kid. Now I got a little bias with me. You know, being Stanford guy, I need the Pac-12 to show up this weekend. So I believe in Herbert. I mean, he was lights out against Stanford until Stanford pulled that unbelievable comeback last year. Just seeing that game. So, you know, when I really watched every snap of him for a game. But, yeah, I believe in Herbert. I think he has the goods, the experience. And I think Oregon comes in with a little edge here. And the issue is, you know, if Oregon does win, what happens now? They're only going to be, you know, they're going to be judged on what Auburn does the rest of the year. And if Auburn has a subpar year in SEC, then Oregon's not going to get any credit, which is not fair because both teams are 0-0 and they're playing in week one. So, it's almost what do they say? All in situation for Oregon, but this it's not a must win, but it would be a really, really beneficial win for them.
So, what's your thoughts on the national landscape for Auburn? Are they a tier, I assume, below Georgia and Bama?
Yeah, I believe so. I put Georgia. If you're going to say tiers, obviously everybody wants to talk about Auburn. I mean, Alabama and Clemson. I'm picking Georgia to win the national title. I think they have the goods. I think there's not holes on Oregon, on Alabama or Clemson. I just think there's a lot of change, and the change comes in very crucial situation spots. You know, Alabama with the play calling, Sark comes back as offensive coordinator. You know, they've obviously got guys suspended for this week, but they lost Moses, who's as important of a defensive player as there is in the country. And then, you know, Clemson, that D-line, man, not only do they have to replace those guys. Now, Clemson churns out D-linemen like anything. But, you know, the experience and just, you know, that locker room presence, man. Christian Watkins was an unbelievable leader. And not to have guys like that. I mean, they have every guy drafted. And to miss those guys out of the locker room. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Trevor Lawrence. That's as impressive a freshman campaign as I've ever seen. But I just think there's a lot to overcome. And I just like the mindset that Georgia coming in with Fromm coming back. They've gone 15 rounds with Alabama 2 years in a row. They know they have the goods to do it. I like Georgia to win it all when you look at the big picture this year.
So 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, we have Boise State at Florida State. The number is now 7, and this is actually a great example of why you need at least 2 TVs during the football season, because you've got to be able to watch both of these here. Willie Taggart looking for a better season than they had last year out of Florida State, and it looks like they've got a ton of bounce-back potential because they are deeper. Boise State starting a true freshman in Hank Bachmeier. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, I think it just came across, actually, is that game's going to be changed to noon in Tallahassee on ESPN News. So just, you know, maybe that helps you out a little bit. Now, noon, you're still going to need that multiple TV, let it be in the first Saturday. This is tricky, man, because Boise State is going to thrive. They've always thrived in this underdog role, you know. And Florida State's got a lot of eyes on them this year. Now, they brought in Kendall Briles. As a new offensive coordinator, he brings his O-line coach with him, Clemens from Houston. And, you know, they were really, really good protecting the quarterback last year. And that's the number one thing Florida State has been missing. Even when Jameis was there, you know, their offensive line talent was not good enough. And they still won a national title with that. So that tells you the talent that was also around there. I think the number's too high. I would take Boise State with the touchdown. I know they have a true freshman quarterback, but I just feel like it's a lot of points when there's a lot of eyes and a lot of pressure and heat on Florida State, knowing what that program is accustomed to and knowing what they were last year. Now, when you look down the road at Florida State, last year was an absolute dumpster fire, and they went 5-7. So they're over-under before the year was 7. So I like that number. I think they can win 8 games. If they play well and they get this thing rolling, they have as good a wide receiver corps as there is in the country, probably second in the conference behind Clemson. But I think Florida State wins, but I think it's a closer game. Boise State's built for this kind of stuff. and they could still play in that underdog role. Now that the line's up to 7.
So next game, 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox, we got Northwestern getting 6.5 versus Stanford. And when Northwestern is getting points, it's almost an automatic play as they're great underdogs under Pat Fitzgerald, 7-1-1 last year as a dog. And me being in Chicago, Northwestern is very top of mind for me. And who knows Stanford better than you do? So I'm curious, what is the scenario in which Stanford covers? Because it seems so many of us are on Northwestern.
I don't see it, Rob. I really don't. I mean, you mentioned Fitzgerald as an underdog. Throw on top of that, he's got a 5-star quarterback in Hunter Johnson. Like, I'm scared to death what Northwestern looks like offensively. Usually, you know, they're a grinded out team, you know, going to hang around, and they make plays late in the fourth quarter and steal games. And they played that to a T last year when they made the Big Ten title game. Stanford doesn't, they lost Bryce Love. They lost Arcega Whiteside. They lost Caden Smith. Those are their biggest three playmakers. Now, Costello comes back, but there's no explosive guys, nobody that scares you that I feel like Northwestern's worried about that might be get behind them or, you know, be a mismatch in one-on-one. So I like Northwestern. I think they have the goods to win the game on the field, but I'll say Stanford wins a close game. I take Northwestern with the points.
And for me, I will be taking Northwestern plus 6.5 as one of my picks. So let's get to the late game. Fresno State versus USC. USC cool. Laying 13.5, 9:30 on ESPN. So some trends to throw out there. Jeff Tedford has gone 26-2 against the spread the last two at Fresno, including 7-0 as a dog and 12-2-2 away from home. On the flip side, Clay Helton currently in an 8-19 spread skid and just 3-9 as Coliseum favorite over the last 2 years. Knowing that so many people are going to be chasing this game because it's late, can you help point us?
That's a great point. I looked at the schedule purposely when you mentioned this game we might talk about, and there's not a lot. There's not. I mean, it's the late game. We're actually on. SportsCenter's on after this game. I don't know. I talked with Felica on the podcast this week about biggest storylines, and USC was mine because I don't know what the identity is going to be. I love the hire of Graham Harrell as offensive coordinator after Kingsbury fled to go become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. I think Daniels is a proven commodity as a quarterback, got thrown to the Wolves, made himself eligible. Should have been a senior in high school last year, but he's playing Division I football in the Pac-12. They have all the goods. They have all the talent. I'm actually a Clay Helton backer. I think the guy look what he had to do last year to save a roster, and that included getting Daniels to get out of high school and become a quarterback. The guy won a Pac-12, won a Rose Bowl. I mean, I feel like it's not fair. I always ask the USC fans, what do you want? Who are you don't have the talent to be, you know, the conference is down. You're not a national championship caliber team. Enjoy, build the roster and build the program. Now when you're on the flip side of this, playing in California, knowing that I went to a Pac-12 school, these other smaller schools in the state love playing up to the Pac-12 schools. You saw it happen with San Diego State a couple of years. They beat Stanford. I lost to San Jose State when I was at Stanford back in the day. So Fresno State's going to be plenty motivated in this spot. It's a lot of points. I still don't know what I'm getting with USC, and that's what scares me. And you mentioned the numbers with Tedford. If I had to pick the game with the points, I got to lean Fresno State with all those points. It's almost 2 touchdowns, man.
One of the suggestions we got was, hey, Rob, can you guys talk about a game on Thursday or Friday? So let's go to the Friday game. Tulsa at Michigan State. Michigan State minus 23.5. And the Spartans are a very experienced team, returning 17 starters, senior quarterback, great defense. So the first question I have is, can they give Ohio State and Michigan a run this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. The schedules are very different for those teams, and I'll say it's the best division in college football. You know, when you look at Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, all in the same division, that's crazy. And now it's going to come down. A lot of times it's come down to the tiebreaker because everybody plays different teams from the crossover games, and the West hasn't been up to the caliber that the East has in the Big Ten. But Michigan State, I respect D'Antonio and think he's there's just a trust factor with him. he shook up the coaching staff and he just made guys go from offense to defense. And I'm not sure how that's going to work. That was a puzzling move by him in the offseason. But they have the talent. They play the disrespect card awesome with Ohio State and Michigan. They're never going to be fearful of those teams. They're going to go at them. They're going to, give them their best effort all the time. You never have to worry about that. It's just they have the talent if Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State are on their A game that day. Michigan State, I believe Fleeca told me that they don't cover numbers this big in out-of-conference games. So all those points, first game of the year, a familiar opponent. I would shy away from giving those points just because Michigan State was not good offensively last year, and it's just a tough spot to give all those points in the first game this year.
To add that context, Michigan State 6-11, laying double-digit prices over the last 4 years, and they failed to cover each of the last seven when they've laid 20 points or more.
Mm. So, that speaks for itself.
Of course. I'm an old school wrestling fan, and because of this, I wanted to pay homage to the Nature Boy Ric Flair, the segment I like to call My Shoes Cost More Than Your House.
My shoes cost more than your house.
And with this, we're going to look at the games with the highest point totals or spreads. And on Sunday, we've got Houston versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma's laying 23, but here's where I'm interested. Over under of 79.5. And first off, what are your thoughts when over unders are this high? Because we even saw it looking at the Arizona Hawaii matchup to kick off the season, where you're like, all right, this is going to be a track meet of two teams who were poor defensively last year. They looked like they were going to be improved a little bit. And now you look over on Houston and Oklahoma, and Houston has a quarterback who will be a trendy name thrown out for the Heisman, and Derek King. I don't believe he'll win because he's in the lower conference, but this dude puts up ridiculous numbers in that offense. Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma, CeeDee Lamb. So what are your thoughts on a number this big of 79.5?
Well, it makes sense because of all the names you just mentioned, man. There is a ton of offensive talent in this game. I'm still want to hold back a little bit with Jalen Hurts. When I look at this game, I would lean towards the under, and here's why. Lincoln Riley is as smart as it comes, and I feel kind of stupid going against his mindset here, but I think he wants to get Jalen Hurts really comfortable. And he also, the biggest factor with me with Oklahoma this year is they got to replace four offensive linemen. Those four guys are all on NFL rosters right now. And with that, I think Lincoln wants to get his guys up front, really, get their hands in the dirt and run the football. Maybe even see some quarterback runs from Jalen Hurts to get him more comfortable. So with that, the clock's running. And with a number that high, man, there's only so much clock. There is a clock. And I know how explosive both these teams are. But I would just lean toward – I mean, Holgorsen's as good as anybody in America at playing to the strengths of his offense. You know, you saw him the last couple of years with Will Greer. Before that, they had a good run game. He ran the ball with Noel Devine and those guys before that. You know, this year, you mentioned King, who I threw out as a 100-1 Heisman candidate. You know, when the Heisman odds were released, he's got all five of his receivers back this year. And the offensive line, I believe, returns three or four starters. So I think Houston's going to try and put it up. They're explosive. We know Oklahoma's issues on the defensive side. They bring in a new defensive coordinator in Alex Grinch. So I think Oklahoma's defense will be better in slowing down Houston. And I think Oklahoma's going to maybe try and keep the ball away from Houston. So I would lean towards the under. That number was up at like close to 80. I know I saw it at 82.5. So that tells you, I think, people are thinking that Lincoln might try and run the ball a little bit.
One thing I say often, get comfortable being uncomfortable, because there is nothing comfortable about taking the under on a spread, an over under of 80.
So that's very true.
The other game I want to look at, one team with huge expectations this year is Nebraska. Year two under Scott Frost, taking on South Alabama. Nebraska, 36-point favorite. And that is a huge amount of points right here. But everyone's looking for Nebraska to roll and build some momentum going into the season. I believe this is an early game too. So for people who want some action, what are your thoughts on 36 points? Because I, quite frankly, am not a big fan of laying 36 points.
No.
But what's your thought process around this?
Well, if you can find, I mean, when it gets into this spread, like that's the toughest part about this, Rob. This week is week one, is every top 10 teams feels like it's a 30-point spread, you know? So when you really dive into it, and this is what's great about, you know, wherever you're putting your action in, I looked along these prop bets and like team totals. Nebraska's team total, I believe, the over under 63.5, and they're given 36.5. So that should make them around their team total around 48, 49 points. I think they score 50. I really do. There's going to be a lot of emotion in that building. They're as primed for a big season as anybody has talked about in the offseason. So there'll be a lot of going crazies in Lincoln. And the balloons, I think they still do that with the touchdowns, will be going up in the air. But I would say Nebraska, if you're going to look to bet that game, I think they score 50 points. So maybe take the team total over there.
One trend which has been successful recently is taking these teams with huge spreads in the first half. So when you're looking at Alabama and Clemson, and it's actually been an edge that the bettors have had over Vegas. Is that something that if people want to get a little bit of action on these huge spread teams, do you like that strategy?
I do, until they started juicing them last year. I mean, I just looked for tonight's game. Clemson is 23.5 in the first half. That's a lot of points, man. And now I don't know what Georgia Tech's going to be, but I do know they have some experience in the secondary. So, I mean, if there's any kind of strength of a team you don't know what's going to be, it's Georgia Tech in their secondary. Alabama crushed it last year. I think they went 10-3 in the first halves, but those numbers start increasing because the books are trying to beat the bettors. And you know, the bettors, I think, just are fearless when it comes to this kind of stuff. But I just feel like there's too many intangibles and not enough time when you're talking about giving, more than three touchdowns in Clemson's case tonight. I mean, Clemson's minus 10 in the first quarter tonight. You know, what if Georgia Tech does come out in the option and they don't give Clemson the ball? You know, that's a tough bet right there. I don't like giving points, and I sure as heck don't like giving 23.5 in the first half of a game. I don't care who's playing.
So we'll get you out on some quick hitting thoughts. On Monday, we got Notre Dame laying 18 versus Louisville. How good can Notre Dame be on the national landscape this year?
Excellent. I think we're going to find out in a couple weeks when they go to Athens. They have another true road game at Michigan. They play at Stanford at the end of to finalize the season. Brian Kelly's never won in Ann Arbor. He's never won in Palo Alto. Their number was kicked around with 9.5 wins. I thought that was a huge number. Them along with Texas was 9.5. I like the under 9.5. I think they win 9 games. I don't think they're playoff worthy this year, but there's plenty of talent. I like Ian Book a lot. I like Brian Kelly as a coach. People bash him all the time, but look at the numbers. Look at the games he's won, and look what he's done in his time in South Bend, where they struggled for so long before him. But it's tough for me to ever go against Notre Dame. They still have enough talent. Louisville's in a transition mode with Satterfield as the head coach. They just quit on Petrino last year. I mean, they sabotaged that season. It was so unfortunate for that fan base and those kids, I felt like. But Satterfield, I think he'll try and muck it up. That's a lot of points in a game where, you got a rabid fan base with a new coaching staff trying to get some emotion in the building. It'll be interesting to see how Notre Dame comes out. If they come out and score early, I think they cover that game. If not, they could be in for a dogfight trying to cover that number.
So for me, this will be my rent-a-movie game of the week. Sometimes you just want to be entertained. Like going to a movie, you throw a few jelly beans on, you sit back and you enjoy it. So with that, would you look to live bet potentially Notre Dame?
Yeah, that's actually a great call. Great call. See what it is at the end of the first quarter, I would say. Obviously see who gets the ball first in the game, all that kind of stuff. I mean, these live bettors, man, it's hard to keep up with all you guys, man. You got every intangible covered. There's a lot, like I said, a lot of emotion and a lot of Notre Dame lost the whole middle of their defense to the NFL. So I would think, you know, you want to see how those guys play. Louisville might try and attack that. I have no idea what a Louisville is going to come out and do offensively. So that's a great point of possibly seeing on a live bet.
All right, I'll get you out here on this. We had a suggestion for an obscure game from an obscure conference, meaning a non-Power 5 team or game that has your eye. So if we're looking this week outside of the Power 5, is there a game we should be looking at?
I like Wake Forest Friday night against Utah State. When you look at that game, Jordan Love's a quarterback for Utah State. They went 11-2 last year. He's a great player. He's an NFL talent quarterback. But I think about times in the past, like Josh Allen of the Bills, a couple years ago, his Wyoming team went to Iowa. They got smashed. Why did it happen? Because Josh Allen lost four linemen going into his senior year, and he lost every wide receiver he had in his junior year. And he just didn't have any weapons. He didn't have any help. Jordan Love lost four linemen this past year, and he has two guys returning that caught more than 10 passes last year. I think Wake Forest is an improved team. I love Clawson as a head coach. He's real. I like the trust factor when you think about back in Wake Forest. So they're giving a couple points. I like Wake Forest as they welcome in Utah State.
Stanford, I want to thank you because you get my college football juices going. I'm so excited for this season. Where can everybody connect with you?
Stanford Steve 82 on Twitter, on Instagram, Stanford Steve, whatever you guys need. The DMs are open. Any questions? Feels like I've been answering questions for 2 months, but I love it. There's not a better time of the year, and let's get this baby cranked up and going.
And I want to hear from you. What action do you have cooking this weekend? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy, and make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And as always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you do, I will show you love on the podcast, giving you a shout out. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management.
The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.